Good morning. This is the Chorus Call operator, and welcome to the presentation of the 2015 annual results for Hera Group. All participants are in listen-only mode. After the initial presentation, there will be a Q&A session. For an assistance from the operator during the conference call, press star followed by zero. And now I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Tommaso Di Vignano, Executive Chairman of Hera Group. You have the floor. Good afternoon. We have only just recently wrapped up our board meeting, and here we are to illustrate our 2015 annual results, and I am sure you have already received our press release and material. 2015 was a year which allowed us to confirm a number of important elements. Our growth didn't stop despite the complexities of the year. For example, the weather we had in a number of months. Besides the complexity in terms of working on some transactions that we had imagined at the beginning of last year. Despite these things, our growth was able to be achieved anyway from a number of different points of view. First of all, we were able to achieve our growth thanks to the strength of our formula, thanks to all of or most of the business elements, and this certainly is an element of strength and continuity, which is in fact what we have always focused on over the past few years. Secondly, as expected, we also worked to compensate or to offset some of the more complex and difficult times, which you're aware of since you received the information during the quarter reports, so that through our organic growth, we could also contribute to promoting efficiency, which is something which has always been an important part of our business plans. Plus, as an effect of our M&A policy that we have been working on in recent years, we were also able to continue in extracting synergies, which is yet another way of allowing us to express organic growth. And today we presented the 2015 yearly results plus the 2015 sustainability results, which is yet another way of underlining how we focus on quality of service and sustainability. And we also wish to underline the positive effects that our results have on our company shareholders with an added value equal to 1.6 billion euros. If we go into the details of our financial highlights and of our P&L, you'll note that our revenues grew by 6.7% compared to the previous year. This is a figure that we were also able to obtain, as we'll be seeing from the commercial side of things, or the market side of things. So this is due also to a positive context brought about by higher consumption rates, which in turn were sparked by the colder winter season compared to the previous year, which characterized the part of the year 2015. Now, this growth in terms of revenues also has to be considered from the depreciation and provisions standpoint, an area in which we were able to obtain significant growth vis-a-vis the values we had in 2014. And this is mainly due to the contribution which stemmed from the broadening of our company's perimeter and the contribution brought about by the new acquisitions we made. And then another especially positive element refers to our financial burdens, in which we were able to decrease from 145 million in 2014 to 137.9 in 2015. This is a path that we started a few years back with close attention being paid to this item by our financial department over the years, and it's a result that I wish to underline. And I also want to underline the fact that some transactions that we had worked on over the year through the buying of minority stakes we had, specifically in two companies referring to the El Ambiente company in the waste sector, this too contributed to a better result with the contribution stemming from the minorities area. Plus, we also had the positive impact as far as taxes are concerned. We have a tax rate which is down to 35.9% compared to the 42% we had in the previous year. As far as minorities are concerned, we have the effect of the two acquisitions we made in the waste sector, in which we bought the minorities, and therefore we are now down to 13.9 million in minorities compared to the 17.6 million in 2014. All of these elements allow us to have a net profit adjusted of 188 million. From which we also have to subtract 8.2 million, which stem from depreciation in the energy plant sector. Which means that with a net profit worth 180 million euros, we were able to post a 10% growth, which is a significant step forward. And it concludes a rebalancing of the top line and the bottom line, which in some years in the past was a source of concern, or it wasn't exactly an area in which we performed as we could have. Nowadays, we were able to achieve this balance, and I'm sure you can appreciate it from the things that we have included in the presentation sent. Specifically on page two. As far as page three is concerned, we decided to give you full visibility on the issue of EBITDA with a focus on the drivers, which on the one hand conditioned EBITDA and on the other allowed EBITDA to grow. Some elements did condition EBITDA. We obviously had to start from the 2014 results, which included close to 27 million euro in one-offs, which you're aware of, and which characterized the 2014 year-end results. Therefore, if we remove these components, we would have started from 840.9 million euros. And therefore, we had to respond in an important way with the typical levers we use in our policy through organic growth, first of all, which is worth over 25 million euros, to which we also added 4.2 million euros in synergies, which are a further step, not the final step in terms of extracting synergies from the Chagas, APS, and AMGA transactions, an area that we are continuing to work on. Therefore, the sum of these two items is an indicator. It shows the efforts that we have worked on in terms of increasing efficiency. And finally, as far as M&A is concerned, I'd like to remind you of the fact that out of these almost 14 million euros, a portion refers to the effects of the Yamga Udine transaction. As you may remember, the Yamga Udine transaction happened halfway through 2013. And therefore, 2014, excuse me, and therefore we completed the entire process halfway through 2015. We also had other major operations, transactions, which happened towards the end of 2015, given the complexity of these transactions. Despite this complexity, we were able to make three acquisitions, transactions on the liberalized market. The first refers to a group of customers in the energy sector, and the other two transactions happened in the very last part of the year. They refer to two companies operating in the waste sector, both of which are ambitious companies, ambitions that we can go into later on, which just goes to show that this is proof of our desire to broaden our portfolio in our asset base, including in landfills. As you may have seen in the 2015 results, landfills had an impact on the waste sector. This was a shortcoming that we had to solve swiftly. We had to increase the number of available landfills as we wait to restart the three largest landfills, which in our territory were awaiting authorizations, or they were waiting for the refurbishment works to be completed. This was the first, I was referring to the first waste sector transaction. The second waste transaction was a lot more specific, and it too is based on our desire to broaden our commercial presence. In this case, through the acquisition of a niche player, since it is a company which only focuses on recovering industrial waste in the Tuscany region. These three transactions, therefore, were concluded at the end of the year, and therefore they contributed very little to the 2015 EBITDA. As a matter of fact, the operational start of the work of these transactions should have begun on January 1st, at least for one of them. But now it's safe to say that 2 months down the line, they have already started working and started giving an excellent contribution. But since we are focusing on the 2015 year-end results, we have to consider the fact that we have the cash-out effects for these two transactions. But since these transactions were concluded at the end of December, we did not see positive effects on EBITDA. These are effects that we will be seeing this year in 2016. So this was just to give you a flavor of how we were able to post growth in terms of EBITDA. And again, if we remove the one-off events we had in 2014, we have a growth rate which is equal to 5.2%. It's quite satisfactory. Plus solid basis for 2016 activities. So now I'd like to give the floor to Stefano, who will be giving you a business-by-business breakdown. Thank you and good afternoon. I'll begin with the networks area. Networks, as you know, represent roughly 50%, and therefore this is a priority sector. Networks performed well, taking into account last year's results and taking into account some of the items that the chairman already mentioned. Overall, the business in these regulated areas grew by 12 million euros net vis-a-vis the previous year results. The area which performed best in the networks was the water sector. Water reached 232 million of the 428 year-end results overall, with a 15 million growth vis-a-vis the previous year. A part of this is certainly linked to the tariff increase in water, plus 6 million euros stem from increased efficiency. 6 million euros of an overall result, which for the entire year was worth almost 20 million euros, and therefore its contribution was roughly one-third. And this was the area which gave us the most benefits. As far as the gas distribution sector is concerned, at the end of the year, the final result was equal to 144 million, which is pretty much in line with the previous year. As you may remember, in 2014, we had some extraordinary items. White certificates, for instance, worth 5 to 6 million euros, which means that, as a matter of fact, our business improved organically along those lines. A part of this came from the perimeter delta. The remainder of the growth came from increased efficiency. As far as the electricity business, the electricity distribution business is concerned, we suffered from the loss of the Perequazione business in the Gorizia province, which is worth 10 million euros. The year-end result is at 39 million euros, a 7.7 million decrease compared to the previous year, although we were able to recover 2 million euros in terms of efficiency. Efficiency, which in the entire networks area accounts for 15 of the overall 20 million euros, and the final contribution was brought about by district heating. And rather than cost optimization, the district heating business benefited from the colder winter, allowing the district heating sector to increase its results by 5.5 million, and we were able to achieve 12.5 million euros at year-end 2015. So these were the general figures as far as this part of the business is concerned. The dynamics concerning economic development still hasn't given a contribution. The traditional parameter that we use, the new meters, the new contracts, actually decreased by a couple million euros compared to the previous year, although in the final quarter of the year, we did see a comeback, a recovery. In general terms, our RAB grew by 50 million euros, and it is now at 3.07 billion euros, including all four of the businesses in this area. Moving on to energy. In energy, we have been seeing the most exciting dynamics. The overall growth of this area was worth 16.4 million euros. This is partially linked to the consolidation of the Alento Gas acquisition, an acquisition we made in the Umbria region in the year's first quarter, plus the contribution brought about for the 6 months by the AMCA Udine transaction. Here we have organic growth. We have growth of volumes, which were able to grow thanks to the better weather compared to 2014. These results could have been even better had the month of December been even colder. As we know, the month of December was quite mild vis-a-vis the historical figures. But despite that, at the end of the year, we have a growth of 300 million cubic meters in end customer sales. This is brought about by a better thermoelectric market and better trading activities. These two activities, plus the higher amount of volume sold on the electricity market brought about by our commercial expansion, brought about a combined benefit of 11 million. The electricity market posted a significant growth, a growth which is equal to a plus 60,000 new customers, which allows us to go beyond the 860,000 customer threshold in this business. This is a significant figure, if you remember where we started from, but also vis-a-vis the electricity market, where we have over 1.3 million customers, meaning that we are above the gas customer base in electricity. We're above 50% of the gas customer base. We also had good margins in commodities. The performance in power generation was less exciting. In the past, we had benefited from some contribution from MSD in the Campania region from the ancillary services. This almost disappeared in 2015, given the activities operated by Tedna and the interconnections in regions such as Apulia and Calabria, thanks to the new Matera Santa Sofia plant. Recently, also in the electricity business, we were able to make the acquisition of another commercial company in the Abruzzo region. It's called Iulia Servizi Più, with a further 15,000 customers who are almost exclusively gas customers. And this is a way of increasing our positioning in the market and Abruzzo territory. We now have 150,000 customers in that part of the country. And this goes to show that that territory was rightly identified as a territory which over time would have seen a major consolidation. And this is something that we feel will further continue in the coming months. The final area I'd like to focus on is the waste business. In waste, there isn't anything else to add vis-a-vis compared to the things we had already commented in the previous quarters. The difficulties that the waste area had in terms of capacity to dispose of waste in landfills is a situation which lasted for the entire year 2015. Its impact was above 8 million euros, whereas 4.4 million euros was the impact stemming from the lower energy prices from waste energy plants. These two effects combined brought about the contraction from 242 million to 230 million. As the chairman was saying earlier, the acquisitions we made at the end of the year still haven't unleashed their effects on the on 2015. They will certainly be doing so in 2016. Hopefully, we will or through the acquisitions we made, we were able to increase our landfill capacity. As far as the landfills, our previous landfills are concerned, we're still moving along in terms of increasing authorizations, and hopefully things will change soon. For those of us who listened in on the business plan presentation, we still have some positive signals as far as prices are concerned. Especially in dry and humid waste to be disposed of in waste vis-a-vis the prices at the end of 2015. In the first 2 months of 2016, we've had an increase of about 2 to 3 euros per ton, which isn't bad at all. As far as volumes are concerned, I mentioned the contraction we had in special waste, which is something that has been on the decline since the first quarter of the year. We've had a stable result for urban waste, which is a decline worth a couple of tons. Sorted collection and recovery and recycling is increasing. We're above 55% of the entire territory homogeneously. plus, we had an increase in efficiency worth a few million euros, bringing the result from 50 million to 20 million euros. This is an overview of the waste business, and I'll give the floor to Luca, who can comment especially on the optimization of financials and tax rate, which is something that the chairman was mentioning earlier, and which was something that we were very satisfied with in closing the year results. Thank you and good afternoon. We closed the 2015 with an excellent profile in terms of the cash flows we generated, over 200 million euros, which obviously stem from a good performance in our operational levers on the one hand, plus a rather positive management of the financial side of things and taxes. We were able to decrease our debt level down to 3.85%, our gross debt, compared to 4.25% last year. So it's 40 to 50 basis points less. This was a path we began in 2013 already. Then in 2014, we had the tender offer of the new green bond, which was able to have a number of positive effects in optimizing the cost of debt in 2015. As far as the tax rate is concerned, we were able to take advantage of all of the elements of the new regulations, especially with the new stability law, and previously with the patent box regulations and the tax credits on innovation and investment in research and development. All of this allowed us to have a positive effects in the lines below EBITDA, and this also had an impact on cash flows. Our working capital also performed well. There was a very slight variation compared to the previous year, especially on credits. We were very satisfied indeed, because with an increase in the credits stemming from the Salvaguardia market, which you have become familiar with over the years, these are credits which are insured, so to speak, by rules set by the authority. And on the traditional markets, we also had the opportunity to contain our credits, and we've also had a credit decrease also vis-a-vis an increase in revenues. The 207 million euros from free cash flows allowed us to fully finance our dividend and to fund our M&A transactions almost completely. The remaining 11 million euro variation brings our debt level up to 1.65 billion euros vis-a-vis the 1.64 billion euros last year, stem from the effects of the net financial position stemming from one of the acquisitions made at the end of last year, which isn't illustrated in any positive effect in terms of EBITDA throughout the year 2015. And therefore, as such, a restatement may very well be made vis-a-vis this figure. All of the financial indicators are positive, especially the operating cash flow on net debt are above 20%, at 20.5% as a matter of fact, and the debt to EBITDA level is at 3 times now, vis-a-vis the previous 3.04 times. And I'll give the floor back to the chairman for the conclusions. I don't think there is very much left to add, besides the fact that the criteria we had applied to our business plan referred to four items, and which integrated all of our growth forecasts. The first was efficiency, something that we worked on, and that and the results of which are obvious, also in terms of the figures achieved. Another item was the quality of service. With the desire to strive for excellence, and many of the elements included in our sustainability results show that we are already in the range of excellence, and this is something that our customers perceive. We certainly have to intensify, and it is actually something we've already started to do in 2015, we have to intensify and continue intensifying our approach to technology and organization. As I said, this is something that we have already started doing, and this means that in 2015, we were able to achieve a solid balance sheet. And it is also a balance sheet which is very encouraging for the future, given these elements I mentioned. I won't go into the waste business, which Stefano referred to, although one of the landfills which were in, which were waiting for authorization is about to start its activities once more. We are working on M&A, and as we have proven, either through acquisitions, if there are no available merger possibilities, or through mergers themselves, which have been our specialty so far, in either of these sectors, both in acquisitions and mergers, we have the experience and the solidity to continue to work in this direction, as you were able to see in the business plan. We are continuing to work this way, and given our soundness and given our strength, we can look to these possible transactions without share capital increases. So this is the profile which emerges clearly from the results. The attractiveness of our dividend is more than confirmed if we also look to other examples present on the market. And therefore, I'm sure that our shareholders will be more than satisfied. You have the floor now for any questions you may have. This is the Chorus Call operator. We will now begin our Q&A session. Anybody wishing to ask a question can press star followed by one on their telephone. To leave the questions list, please press star followed by two. And please use your telephones for questions and remember to speak slowly and clearly for translation. Anybody wishing to ask a question can now press star followed by one. The first question is by Javier Suarez, Mediobanca. Good afternoon, everybody. Javier Suarez speaking from Mediobanca. Three questions. The first question is for the chair on the regulatory context as a way of fostering consolidation. What is your interpretation of the recent decree in Parliament? Do you think that this is a tool that can, in fact, promote consolidation? And do you think that there will be a speeding up in consolidation in 2016? The second question refers to the company's balance sheet. Obviously, you've had a major cash generation, and the cost of debt is still relatively high, given the very low interest rates on the market. The question is, what can the company do to reduce the interest rates or to fully exploit these very low interest rates? And as far as consolidation is concerned, is there a clear preference of cash rather than paper? Because you can fund a cash transaction with very low interest rates. And a final question as far as P&L is concerned, slide two, if I remember correctly, I'd like to know what the breakdown is between depreciation and provision, the 422 million euros. What is the breakdown between depreciation and provision? What is the  8.2 million euro depreciation is concerned? I'd like to have some guidance on taxation for next year as well. Thank you.
Let me begin by answering our second question on our balance sheet. What can we do as far as liability management is concerned? We can do something, not very much, as a matter of fact. Luca didn't mention this, but last year we had swapped our variable tax rates to a fixed rate, allowing us to set our cost of debt for some of our products almost 1 billion euros out of a total of 3 billion. I think it was at 2.9% or 2.15%. From the operational standpoint, we can continue to look for the possibility of recalling part of the next bond, which will be expiring. This will happen in 2019 only. So this is only something that will be economically interesting at the end of the year. That will be the moment in which we may announce a two-year callback, or to make the callback 2 years ahead of schedule. And it's what we did when in 2014, we made the callback of the bond, which expired last February. Your remark is correct, of course. Currently, there is a preference, so to speak, to finance acquisitions through cash rather than paper, given the lower cost. This is something that we can try to take advantage of, and it's something that we've actually done 100% on the smaller transactions we concluded in 2015. And it's also something that we can do within the limits of the financial flexibility we have. Our benchmark is always the fact that we want to have a rating level along the lines of the one we have. Therefore, we have to continue to have the flexibility on the debt-to-EBITDA ratio, which is at 3x nowadays. Looking forward, and looking to the past as well, and looking to the results in 2015, in 2016, we also have to look at the WACC results. The authority did take back some of the money. Half of the net cash flow, once we paid the dividends, had to be paid back to the authority. Therefore, we want to regenerate some of that liquidity we had over the year. Moving on to their question on the depreciation on the P&L. They all refer to activities or projects that we had in the energy sector. We sold 50% of a small company, a small power generation company with a 50-megawatt plant in Gorica, which used to belong to Acegas APS, and that brought about an extra financial loss related to the disposal of financial assets of about 4 million euros. And then we also had another generation project. It was only a project, and given the situation, we decided to depreciate, since we don't think that we will hold on to that project as far as our future development projects are concerned. As far as the breakdown between depreciation and provisions are concerned, out of the 440 million euros total, 340 million refer to depreciation, whereas the remaining 100 million euros refer to provisions and other risks for a further 40 million. Therefore, The remaining 170 refer to the bad debt provision, and 72 rather, vis-a-vis the 66 last year, and 37 refer to provisions for other risks. Meaning that three-fourths of that refers to depreciation. And the outlook for tax rate for 2016 is at around 37.5%. And one last aspect concerning taxes. Much like other companies have already done, already in the year 2015, we have factored in the effects stemming from the lower EDIS tax, which was approved by the government and which will come into effect in 2017. In our case, we simply had to reabsorb a couple million euros, and hopefully this reduction in tax rate will in fact be reduced. As far as your first question is concerned, I can give you what my feelings are. Since we have been discussing this topic for quite some time, and referring to M&A, of course, we certainly have to take two risks into account. The first is that the things which have been drafted in the Madia decree on this topic will hopefully reach its logical conclusion without any other things that could limit the transparency of the process. For instance, were we to imagine that in the waste business, in the future, we could still have N operators simultaneously in the same territory as it is today, obviously there would be no benefit whatsoever for the Madia decree. For the time being, things have been drafted differently. The same goes for water. So again, the end result is the most important thing. The second aspect is that the regulatory strictness that we hope for, given the high level of fragmentation in Italy, again, the strictness we hope for can be also a way of avoiding some to continue to hold on to their small municipal companies. And this is something which still exists. You may think that there is no hope in this sector, but things are quite differently because we're finally starting to see things changing. In the first half of 2015, things were very different. And the fact that tenders will be launched for concessions for the entire catchment area, the fact that this is happening in all sectors is starting to increase the pressure on the smaller companies or the small company shareholders who will have to sell their assets. This is something which is now very easy to perceive. Some of these small companies are starting to understand this. Obviously, I don't know how much time it will take for mayors or political parties to continue holding on. That's yet another question. And that is something that we're trying to be prepared for. Not for a single transaction, but hopefully something that we have committed to already in our business plan, both in terms of tenders and in terms of mergers and acquisitions, as we have defined in our business plan. So again, each individual opportunity, each individual case is something that we have to work on individually. In some areas of the country, you need to be very patient and you need to work very intensely. Thank you. Good evening. I just have a few questions. I'd like to begin with a question on the waste sector. Can you give us some further comments on the outlook for 2016, especially? The EBITDA contribution, for instance, that we can expect from the two acquisitions you completed at the end of 2015, and the possibility to recover those landfills which did not contribute to the 2015 results. You mentioned one landfill that is about to restart, and what will be happening with the other landfills then, especially as far as margins are concerned? Can we expect a recovery vis-a-vis the 8 million euros we lost last year? Can there be an improvement given the improved market conditions? You mentioned that there was an increase in prices in the first few months of the year. A second question concerning water. You posted a very strong result in 2015. Again, can you give us an idea of what the 2016 outlook may be? There will be an impact of the regulatory review, but then there should be quality premiums, tariff increases. So in general, what is your outlook for this year? And then I have a third question on the gas business. You mentioned that there was an improvement in margins, especially in Q4. So from this point of view, what have you been seeing in the first few months in 2016? And specifically, given the very low prices in gas on the wholesale market, can you benefit from the current market conditions? Let me begin with your last question on gas supply and what our outlook is for 2016. Well, in Q1, the margins were pretty much similar to the ones the previous quarter. They stem from the same supply contracts. Obviously, volumes were lower compared to the previous years because February was warmer than February 2015, meaning that we did lose some volumes from this point of view. In late March, we'll be seeing a slight contraction as far as the P per Q theme is concerned. As far as the outlook on gas procurement is concerned, well, the fact that prices are low leaves a lot less room for everything else, so to speak. The important thing, as far as we're concerned, is the spread between North and South Europe, the spread between TTF and PSV, the spread between Baumgarten and PSV. Given the absolute level of prices, it's lower compared to what we had in the same period last year. Everything is a little more crushed. The positive aspect of this condition as far as prices is are concerned is that we're already working on the 2017 calendar. Some players in the gas and energy sector, as given the prices, are asking for offers, and therefore we're already completing the contracts for the 2017 calendars. And this is a way to start working on our commercial campaign. Not so much for residential customers, of course. I'm referring to our industrial customers. As far as water is concerned, vis-a-vis this year's figures, and I agree, the results were very good. But you also have to remember that we had posted the same improvement last year, which means that in 2 years we had a 30 million euro increase in profitability. In 2016, we'll be seeing the impact of the WACC review for the water cycle. That is worth 12 million euros for us. So that takes away almost all of the improvement we posted in 2015. Despite this, as far as a premium on the quality of service is concerned, we do count on a few million euros, as we said. And when we presented the business plan, we already stated this. Plus, we'll be working on increasing efficiency. It'll be almost impossible to fully offset the impact of WACC on the first year, but at least two-thirds, a two-thirds recovery is the target we've set. And I'll leave the floor to our chairman for your question on waste. Well, if you are concerned with the decline in results compared to the previous years, well, in terms of recovering, I'm not concerned myself. Let me explain why I'm optimistic. Of course, we always need a real and tangible date, and especially when it's a matter of receiving authorizations, it's always complicated to have a deadline. But anyway, what were the things which went well in 2015, and what should we add to reach the results that you were mentioning? The things which are working well are our assets. Everything went very well except for the landfills. And this was also confirmed in the results posted in early 2016, which means that with the increase in capacity in landfills, the figure you are mentioning, which isn't anything shocking, is a figure that we'll be able to recover. We are in the final stage of the regional government to approve the regional program for waste, which includes the three large landfills which are protected. They are the ones which in the future will continue to be used to dispose of special waste and urban waste. One of these three landfills is about to start working again since we've completed the works. The other two should be reopened by the end of the year. Hopefully, one will be open towards mid-year and the other in the fall, hopefully. Take into account that in our business plan perspectives, as far as special waste landfills are concerned, which are the ones that we had problems on recently, we have two other options which we took into account in the business plan, which obviously can't be used for urban waste, but which are interesting nonetheless, because one of these is a large special waste, including hazardous waste landfill, and the other is another special waste landfill in Tuscany. Therefore, we don't need authorizations from our local regional government. So the potential in this area of business is pretty significant. All the small landfills we used to have up to a year ago have all been closed in line with the business plan forecast we had made. So again, as far as our assets are concerned, I have no concerns whatsoever. Whereas you may remember that in the business plan we had said that the waste energy plant that we bought 2 years ago in the Molise region, which in 2 years' time will be expiring its CIP6 incentives, so that will have a negative impact on figures. Another positive remark that Mr. Bernier already mentioned earlier is the fact that besides the work we're doing on our assets, we hope to continue having the growth trend, which, as far as prices are concerned, is something we've been seeing in over the past 3 months. An increase in prices, obviously, could be a way of offsetting the expiry of the CIP 6 incentives on the waste energy plant in Melissa is concerned. Plus, besides the landfills we were talking about, we also mentioned the two landfills that we bought in the Veneto region recently, both of which are going very well and they're in line with our expectations. So again, we have the landfills in the Veneto region, which have no constraints and which are working very well. Then we have the three large landfills in the immediate Romagna region, which are concluding the authorization process with the projects to broaden them, plus the other two landfills dedicated to special waste that I mentioned. With this in mind, and taking into account that we have 10 waste energy plants, despite the CIP 6 incentives I mentioned, plus, as we mentioned in the previous conference call, we are about to begin building the waste energy plant in Florence. So as far as this sector is concerned, we haven't been standing still, and the projects in this area of business are pretty solid. Just a couple of details. What can the impact of the CIP 6 expiry in the Molise region, what can its impact be? And what can the positive impact of the two recent acquisitions be on EBITDA? They're pretty much the same, 11 million and 11 million. Thank you. The next question is by Stefano Gamberini, Equita FIM. Good afternoon. Also, as far as waste is concerned, can you give us some figures on the landfills you were mentioning, the Ravenna landfill and the other two that you will be increasing in terms of capacity? How much more capacity will you be obtaining? And secondly, as far as Florence is concerned, if I remember correctly, it's a 17 megawatt installed capacity waste energy plant. What will that asset's EBITDA be once it is fully operational? How much can the Florence Waste Energy Plant contribute? And then I'd like to ask the chairman to comment on the postponing of the gas tenders by another year. And can you further explain the Madia decree topic? Do you think they will be changing it yet again, or will there be some amendments? Were you referring to the catchment areas, both for waste and for water? And is the issue the fact that the Energy Authority won't be the one dealing with these matters anymore? As far as the broadening of the Ravenna landfill is concerned, it refers to some 900,000 tons. The other two landfills are at over a million tons, if I remember correctly. And the landfills we acquired in Veneto, it's 1.5 million tons. These are just the general figures spread out over a 10 to 15 year period. As far as the capacity we obtained through the waste recycling company, it's some 500,000 tons between liquids and solids. As far as the Florence Waste Energy Plant is concerned, we hope to start building the plant in the upcoming months. We are finalizing the financing side of things. And hopefully the company's EBITDA will be around 20 million euros. At the moment, we have a 40% stake in the company. The remaining 60% is owned by Quadrifoglio, the company which won the tender in the upper Tuscan and central region around Florence. So they're the ones who won the tender. As far as the gas tenders are concerned, in the Mille Proroghe law, the terms were extended. That is a way of allowing certain local authorities to avoid the sanctions. I can only talk for the area of the country that we are located in. As far as the northeastern part of the country is concerned, things are going along as planned previously. A lot of calls for tenders have already been published. The one in Forlì-Cesena already received comments from the authority, and it will be soon integrated with some of the comments sent in. Some of the appeals have already been examined and refused. And therefore, I don't think that the time frame that we had in our business plan will be delayed by 8 to 12 months. As we could have expected from the further delay. That's not the, these aren't the signals we're getting from the tender centers. They're all working fine. They just know that they won't be sanctioned if they delay things by 15 or 20 days. Sometimes, given the fact that they were afraid of the sanctions, they had to speed things up in terms of writing the rules. These were last-minute things which were done as a way of avoiding sanctions. And then you had a final question on the Madea decree. I think that the chairman's examples were just examples. What we expect to continue seeing is the waste sector to be given on a provincial basis. I'm sure that this will be an important thing. As we've always said, the fact that the Energy Authority was chosen to reorganize the sector is something very positive, and hopefully this will have an impact both in terms of the future tenders, but also in terms of redefining tariffs. For instance, the waste disposal tariffs on a homogeneous level. Just an example, based on law number 152, remuneration on a recognized on capital recognized for certain assets is 3.5%. You can understand that things can only improve given such a low percentage. So I think that these were all the questions that you had asked. I didn't understand Florence. You have 40%? The company that we have a 40% stake in is the company that has the building and the management of the waste energy plant. And yes, we only have 40%, a 40% stake in the company, which owns the asset. And then out of the 20 million euros, you will be consolidating 40% of that. The next question is a follow-up by Enrico Bartolomei first. Two very brief follow-up questions. One is a question on tax rate. This year it was 35.9 with a negative impact given the fair taxes restatement. Therefore, it should be even lower compared to that figure. And how will we be having the 37.5% tax rate next year? And then I have another question on the Madia decree. It seems to me that in the general decree, which was approved last year, mention was made of a number of sanctions for the local authorities which refused to sell their stakes in municipally owned companies. Is there anything in the implementation decrees referring to that, although I don't think so? Is there anything else which will be defined from this point of view? No, there are no sanctions. There are some pseudo-incentives, rather. There are some strong restrictions when it comes to the creation of new companies. As a matter of fact, there are no sanctions, only incentives. And we don't expect anything along those lines to be introduced, because the only time that sanctions were introduced, that wasn't very successful. I'm referring to the Ronchi decree, which had to undergo a national referendum. As far as tax rate is concerned, I'll leave the floor to Luca. As far as the tax rate is concerned, in this year's 35.9%, we have some non-recurring elements, which refer to the extra financial gains brought about by the acquisitions made at the end of the year. This is something that we fully took advantage of over the past 2 years since we made acquisitions. Alga Udine in the past, now this recent acquisition of the waste sector in 2015. This is always an opportunity we seize whenever we can. Therefore, the tax rate just should stand at that percentage that we mentioned earlier. The next question is a follow-up by Stefano Gamberini, Equita FIM. Two quick follow-ups. You mentioned that you made the acquisition of 16,000 gas customers in the Abruzzo region. How much was that worth? And then in the press release, you mentioned the analysis of the best opportunities for multi-utilities which neighbor your territory. Can you give us an update on what's going on in terms of possible mergers? Has there been anything new compared to when you presented the business plan? The acquisition that we are referring to is the acquisition of a company located in the city of Giulianova in Teramo. It's worth 15,000 customers. The price we paid was 5.3 million for 100% of the equity. The NFP within it was worth 1 million euros. Maybe the chairman wants to add something else. I think I gave you some very clear comments. Our territorial references are clear. They're present in the business plan. We've given you the numbers. So as far as M&A is concerned, we're continuing to work as we started doing it last year as well. We don't want to focus on a single target, which then may be set back due to political reasons. We want to have a general picture of the problem so that we can focus on our projects, and we want to spread them out over the business plan years. I think that that can allow us to do things properly. And then we have some news as far as IMEG is concerned. It is a part of that general picture I was mentioning. Now, recently, their public shareholders mentioned that the best solution for them is to go towards a merger or a full merger with a larger player. This is a decision which has been made formal on a piece of paper, and I think that this is the guideline that the company that their company and our company, which is the only company, in fact, which has expressed a desire to fully integrate the company. So we're interested in continuing in the upcoming months. Apparently things have now been clarified. In the coming months, we'll be seeing which will come first, which opportunities will come first. Our plans won't end in 2016, of course. I hope that was clear for you. Thank you. For any questions you may have, you can press star followed by one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up by Javier Suarez, Mediobanca. You give us the overall RAB of your regulated businesses. Can you give us a breakdown of the RAB? Well, there are no major changes compared to last year. As far as water is concerned, the RAB is slightly below 1.5 billion. Gas is 1.05, 350 in electricity distribution, and 200 in district heating. Thank you. The next question is by Meris Tonini, Intesa San Paolo. Good afternoon. I have a very quick question for you. You mentioned your ability to recover the water WACC losses through efficiency. In the business plan, you indicated a decline in WACC equal to 25 million euros. Therefore, the lower EBITDA in networks will be equal to 12.5 or 13 million. And electricity and gas and district heating. How much of this do you think you'll be able to recover through efficiency? Two-thirds of the total, as you mentioned? Yes, the impact of WACC is divided evenly. Consistently with the RAB breakdown I mentioned, so it's a further 12.5 billion euros on the other businesses. As we mentioned earlier, we have the 25 million euro effect plus the roughly 11 million euros stemming from the expiration of the CIP6 in the Pozzilli plant. As we mentioned, when we presented the business plan, in terms of net profit, we want to reabsorb all of these negative impacts in 2016. Maybe we won't be able to do so in terms of EBITDA, but we will in terms of net profit. Thank you. For any further questions, press star followed by one on your telephone. For any further questions, press star followed by one. Gentlemen, there are no further questions. Thank you very much. This ends our conference call. See you soon. Thank you very much.